Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's up, Ken?
How are you?
I'm great, man.
Good.
No problems.
Glad to hear it. Life is good?
Yeah.
Family's healthy?
Seem to be.
And happy?
We got to sleep in today?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Group C day.
Oh.
So they text you and they say, hey, we're going to start 2 hours late.
That because of the weather?
Yeah.
So
that was good.
But they did go to school?
They did.
I mean, I get it. They've canceled some days where I'm like, it's not that bad.
Well,
this morning was ice.
I think they've canceled so many days.
That's what I wondered.
My youngest told me if they cancel any more, they have to start adding them.
Okay.
According to state law or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we got so many built in.
I was like, well, whatever. I was like, whatever. If they add one, you don't have to go. Okay. Like,
right.
It doesn't. Like,
right.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. You got 2 extra days at the end of the year. I'm sure those are important.
My oldest had pneumonia 1 week. So he was out, and then he had
pneumonia,
COVID.
Pneumonia.
He did.
I don't think I've ever had pneumonia.
I had
pneumonia.
It, and so did Chacho. We all got it, and we had to go get antibiotics. Remember that day I took
test
off?
You for
yeah.
It? Yeah.
So he had, 5 days there. They said he couldn't go to school for 5 days or something.
That makes sense.
And then COVID, he had, he tested positive for that.
This year?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we went on that baseball vacation.
Sure.
So I'm like, dude, you can't. I don't know what's going to happen if you miss any more days. I just don't need. I haven't vacuumed in a little bit. I don't need CPS here. Go to school.
Right. Like, what you don't want is the drop-in.
But it's fine. Like
the dreaded drop-in.
There's nothing bad here, but I still don't. I don't want to deal with it.
Even if your house was spick and span, the
idea
of that.
I mean, it is pretty
that.
Clean, but the robo vacuum broke, so it's like, yeah. You know what? I don't need her judging me.
Right. And I just don't need you knocking. It's
I'm
like
sure
being pulled over.
Comparatively, my house is fine. You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's still that
like,
feeling.
I don't want to. Yeah, you gotta go.
It's like getting pulled over.
I need some truancy officer rolling in here. Being
right.
Like, yo.
Right. And we
why
have.
Why's your kid not going to school? I'm like, I don't know, man. He turns 18 soon. Talk to him. Whatever.
Right. I think you and I guess all three of us here, we all have that guilt. We're guilty of something feeling. So if you get pulled over, even if you didn't do anything wrong, even if you're ship-shaped, there's part of you that says, I'm sure I've done something wrong. I'm sure they're going to find something. And I would imagine it's the same if they drop by to see how the family's doing because Child Protective Services is there. Right. Like, imagine if someone did that as a prank. You know, you hear about people swatting and stuff like that.
Well, I think they do it. I think people do it to people.
Like,
you can just
over
call.
Divorce?
Like, I can just,
like, because they're angry at one another?
Yeah.
Or, like, as a prank or both? People
well,
will do
I don't
it?
Know. It would be a horrible prank.
I know.
I don't
so
know. But
swatting.
I think, like, I could do it to a snow cone.
Really?
Like, I think you can just call. Like, it's a welfare check.
I mean, I guess
and they
that
just
makes
have
sense.
To go. Yeah.
You shouldn't have to present a bunch of evidence before they go look. Like, they should.
Right.
If someone brings something to their attention, they should go look. But if someone
my
just
dad
does
called
that.
Called for
to
a welfare
you,
check up here
right.
for me that one time.
And they came.
And they showed up.
Yeah.
I think it's why they call me, like, hey, the cops are here for you.
Yeah. The cops will do welfare checks for sure. I know that. I mean, depending on where you live, it may take a little longer in some cities than others. But I'd never thought about the CPS thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just showing up. And then I guess if they show up at that point. If it's just because someone says, hey, you should check on this guy. He's bad dad.
I think
they do they still check the fridge and all that stuff? Do they go through and look, see if food?
I think they do. You know what? I don't know for certain. But I feel like from people that I've talked to, I feel like they come in kind of like a cop a little bit. And it's almost like they have a warrant, but they don't. So they just kind of eyeball the house like, you know, hey.
Because you haven't agreed to a court order.
Right. I think they're kind of looking like, you know, is there cocaine on the table? You know. What's going on here?
It's energy powder, sorry.
You know, and I think they just kind of look at it and they talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Why do you think this happened? I think maybe they talk to the kids if they're old enough.
Yeah, they should at least, right? They separate the kids.
Yes, I don't know how they do that. Maybe not. They
I've
might not be
those...
able to talk to the kids like cops. You know, you might be like, no, you can't talk to my kids.
I don't know. I've seen those horror stories where they didn't get the kids separated or whatever, and they usually at the end of those things talk about how now, you know, it's... some sort of a rule that they have to talk to them separately in case they're scared of their parents or whatever. And, I mean, I guess you could call for anything because you could say he's heavy-handed or you could say there's nothing in the house but Powerade and cocaine. You know what I mean? There's no food in the house. You could say that it's filthy. And also, like, wonder what the bar is for filth.
I bet you could do it anonymously.
I'm sure
you could just be, I could be like, hey, I saw, and I'm not giving anybody any ideas, but I feel like you could say, like, hey, I saw a snow cone and his kid at the park and his kid had a black eye.
Right.
And his dad, his snow cone looked pretty heavy handed. It looked like the kid was scared of him. I feel like they're like, well, we'll just roll over there and check
now
it out.
Now you just
like,
get that knock on the door?
You're like, God damn.
No, thanks.
Right.
No, thanks.
And I feel like if you're like, no, you can't come in, then.
Then they come back and say, now we can.
Right.
Almost
like
the,
worse, so.
You can't search my car. And they're like, well, that's reason to search your car. I'm not sure if that's how it works. But it feels like that's how it works. Yeah. Probably the same with CPS. And then they're just going through your fridge.
Anyway, why are we talking about that? Oh, because my bathroom didn't work.
And because your kids never go to school. I don't think that I would pass. Do you think that if I applied...
To be a foster parent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they would... You think that they would... There's got to be background checks and...
Yeah, I think they'd let you be a foster parent.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I know you hear horror stories, but still, you think...
And what are they going to do?
I don't know. I mean, the whole foster system sounds so scary, the fact that kids get bounced around from one to the next.
You should get a kid.
You hear all these bad stories about it. You don't
know. You'd be a good dad.
Nobody knows anybody who's like, I had great foster parents, and they unless they got adopted.
Yeah,
there's those stories sometimes somebody getting adopted.
Parents, yeah.
You ever hear like, luckily I had really good foster parents, you know, and 15 foster siblings, and they really took care of me. And I'm sure those stories do exist, but they're rare enough that...
Right.
I've never...
Well, usually I think if you just take one kid, you probably just adopt them.
It's like fostering a dog, and I don't mean to testing it out to see if it works.
I don't know how.
Right?
I also think like there's monetary incentives there, you know, I'll take 8 kids because I get money for it. Like, what?
That's the criticism.
That seems weird.
Very weird, and I think the worry is that the majority,
I think you could get a kid, though. That's what I'm saying. Just get a kid.
Right. Well, and then the other thing is...
get them to come and live with you.
If you're getting paid...
And then the worst thing is you're like, oh, they're going to come check out my house. What are they going to do? Well, they come after 6 months and, like, your house is filthy. Like, take him. He's not mine. Well, I barely know the kid.
Right. But now I'm getting used to that money, baby.
Been here for, like, 6 months. Kind of a dick. He's 14. Take him. I don't know where you're going to put him. You got some mansion over in Leawood where they're just dying to take this kid?
No.
Come on.
There never is.
This is Waldo. This is about as good as he's going to get. So, like, I'm a pretty cool guy. I'm relaxed. He goes to school.
It's not
most
my fault. It's not my fault that the schools that don't really exist here. They closed them down. What do you want me to do?
He goes most of the time. He seems to have decent. I mean, he's got D's. Yeah. He's fine. What do you want? You want to take? Oh, we'll take him from you. What are you talking about?
You know,
damn near begged me to get him in the first place.
That begs the question.
You made him. I didn't make him. I don't know that baby.
I don't really owe him anything.
When you adopt a kid, they come.
I don't know.
Check out. What are you going to do? Take him? I don't know him.
That's it. Doesn't look like me. He's not related to me. I got no feelings for this kid. Other than I offered to do this. I don't know why. Right. Just got a wild hair at my ass.
Yeah, right, but if you want to be a hard ass about it,
then
take him
out of here. As I do another line. I just wonder if you pay people to foster kids, you get so much money per kid.
Mr. Imp says we should get rid of these giant centipedes in the basement before we put a kid in there.
I haven't seen one of those in years now.
Okay.
I'm doing pretty good. But if you get paid to foster a kid, then why would you adopt? You know what I mean? Let's say you just want to foster one kid. If the government's giving you a check every month because you're fostering this kid, what's the incentive then to adopt? Even if you're like, I want to keep this kid.
That's what I think. I don't think they're the same people.
Oh.
I think foster parents are different than adoptive parents. Like in...
But there are foster parents who end up adopting.
I'm sure
those
there
kids,
are,
right?
But I think most people I think who adopt are looking to adopt one kid.
You know,
that's going to be our kid.
Sure, but a lot of times they're looking for babies.
Yeah.
I always thought of foster care like we'll foster the kid for a while and see. We're not going to make any firm commitments.
I think they're like this kid needs a place to live for a while before he's adopted. So it's like fostering, like you said, like a puppy. Like all right, well, I'll keep him for as long until you find an adoptive parent.
Right, and sometimes just like with the puppy, sometimes you foster and you go, you know what, it's working out really well. I know we got plenty of people on Twitch, as a matter of fact, who foster dogs and end up adopting them. Same sort of thing. Like, I don't want to tell this kid this is their forever home and then find out I can't handle this. I'll foster him for a while, see what happens, and then I'll adopt him. But anyone who fosters, like, 10 kids or whatever I don't know what the max is. They do it based on how big your house is? I mean,
I have no idea.
I don't want to name names, but that politician I mentioned earlier from years ago, I thought she had like 20 foster kids in that house.
I think she had at least 8 or something.
She had a bunch, right?
Well,
but she had money.
Her name's Michelle Bachmann.
I don't know how many
of the president.
I don't know how many kids were fostered. I don't remember how accurate that is. So
I knew she was a foster mom and had quite a few.
Yeah, I remember the photos.
I don't know if they were all at the same time. I don't know how that works.
Me neither. And some of them might have been. She might have had a bunch of biological kids. I don't know. But I've never known anyone who's foster kids. Everybody fosters animals.
Yeah.
I know plenty of people who've done that, but why aren't we fostering kids? Someone should foster a kid.
Well, because it's more responsibility.
Well, yeah.
I know dog moms don't want to hear that about their fur babies, but like...
I think they know deep down.
If your dog doesn't, if he doesn't eat for a while because you're out at the bar, it's fine. Like, you just can't, like, leave a kid. Like, well, if he doesn't eat for a while because I'm out at the bar, it's a big difference.
Right. And that's
your dog's
going
to be okay.
Down.
Maybe hungry and a little pissed, but fine.
Right. Yes. It's definitely not the same.
No.
Also, the dog is essentially an adult, It does dog things. It knows how to survive. So, yes, you have to let it in and out or whatever. Okay, fine. That's not even close to being the level of responsibility that a kid needs.
Right.
Learning how to be a parent and all those things. I don't know anything about it.
Man.
I don't have kids. But that seems like a huge responsibility.
That's new.
I've definitely done this, which I'm sure lots of people have, and maybe you have, Lazo. At some point, you adopt an animal, and you go, this will be great. I'm going to get a cat. I'm going to get a dog. And then you get home, and you think, oh, my God, I cannot believe that I did this. Well, this is going to impact the way I live so much. And I'm talking about a pet now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have to change the litter box now. Why did I do this? So I can only imagine
with
the kid, the fear that you would have of once this kid gets home, if he starts mouthing off to me, am I going to
be a good example? Not even.
Exactly. Am I going to be a good enough parent to make this kid be an okay adult?
Right.
I respect very few people more than people who adopt kids. My dad was adopted. I know your dad, right, was adopted. And I just always thought that that's an incredibly generous, incredibly important thing.
Sure.
And for that matter, fostering kids, if your heart's in the right place, then I respect the hell out of that, too.
Yeah.
It just, it, it,
feel selfishly like a huge...
Well, yeah, my nephew's going to be here again for spring break this week, so, you know. We've only got the one bedroom.
Bring whoever you want. You get him bonded. Isn't that the call?
Don't start with that. He's not a puppy. So, you know, maybe I had a bigger place, but why don't you? You know, you're worried about your kids growing up.
I don't have enough room right now.
I know, but you're worried about your kids leaving the house. This has come up before, if I recall.
Yes, if they leave.
We've talked about maybe adopting a kid.
Yeah.
I don't see
when
why not.
Gone and away at college.
Yeah.
They'd have to be older.
Of course.
Yeah,
you don't want a baby. That sounds like a...
Yeah, and even young, because I just don't have the energy anymore. Yeah. Like, I've done it twice.
No.
You know, if they were 14 or something, all right.
Like those kids in the paper. Remember when they used to print the pictures of the kids that were up for adoption, and they'd say, this is so-and-so, this is his sister.
Yeah.
And they talk about how sweet they are. I'm sure these kids had problems that they weren't talking about, but they tell you how sweet
they are.
Also,
it feels like it could be on a true crime series that you watch. Like, I adopt a 15-year-old, and he murders me in my sleep.
Oh, trust me. It happens.
When we
watch those shows, they say adopted, and we go, you shouldn't have done that.
Eh.
I mean, it's like that is most dangerous than being a step parent in general.
I barely survived the two I got, so.
I gotta think that there's a kid out there, though, who's as effed up as they are from not having a stable home.
Oh, sure.
That there's still, I've seen it with my own eyes, kids who are just somehow good kids.
Yeah.
And they're gonna have problems, but
maybe
they may as well come
scout.
To us.
Look for an athlete.
Yeah, well, foster. Foster, see
how
it goes.
You're going to have to scout an athlete out.
Yeah, you know.
Someone I'm like, oh,
look for
kid,
that money
this
maker.
This kid's got a chance.
Because the government will give you some money for a little while.
Yeah, but
there's that incentive. But what you want is
I want an athlete or an Asian smart kid.
Yeah. What are you going to do with the Asian smart kid? You got to pay to go to school or something.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, we'll figure all that out. But I'm guessing, you know, if you're nice to an Asian foster kid who ends up being a genius, I'm guessing he comes home on Christmas and he is grateful.
Yeah, that's true. You just tell him he's going to be a doctor or something?
Yeah, just, you know, I don't know, Tiger Mama. Read the book.
Right. Right. Just read the book. Practice your piano.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to play. And it's like,
neither
do I.
You're Asian. Play the cello. Let's go.
It's in you somewhere. Just keep doing it until
it works.
He's
like, I want to play baseball. I'm like, no.
No.
Ping pong and badminton. I don't even know. That might be Indians who play badminton. I'm not sure, but that's what we're doing. Stuff with rackets. Let's go.
If we're doing
quick motions, eye-hand coordination, math, fingers fast on the piano.
That's right.
Let's go.
Now, the Indian kid can play cricket.
Your white brothers will play football. Come on.
Now the races are all mixed up.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
We're going to do the news coming up here pretty soon. Big, big, big concert news. Music news. I hope you guys haven't heard this one yet. I'd like to be the one to break the news to you. There's actually some NFL news as well. And, of course, eggs are in the news every single day, but now there's a new spin on the whole eggs are expensive thing.
Uh-oh.
There's a solution. An option, at least, that you guys may have seen. Something that's becoming popular. The media says it's becoming popular. I kind of have my doubts. And then, of course, these tariffs, you know? The tariffs have been in place for a couple of days. So, where are we? How many new factories have we built, right? How many people have we put back to work? It's a little early, but we can start trying to tally some of this stuff up. We got some updates for you. And
I saw it last night. I mean, Trudeau and those guys, man, and Ford, they were going at it.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw what they say, that Ford guy in Windsor took $1 billion worth of U.S. liquor off the shelves.
It was like Kentucky bourbon
and,
whatever, the last time
this happened, it crushed him.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, the way they were taking it.
Like
now,
the Boston Tea Party, but...
Well, they said specifically, I saw Kentucky's getting hosed with this. I'm sure Tennessee, too, because of all the booze.
Wow.
I mean, Trudeau said, like, what, $150 billion worth of goods it'll be taxed at this 25% rate?
Maybe it was $100 million. I don't remember what it was in liquor. You'd have to look it up. But they showed them, like, the people in the shops on TV grabbing U.S. liquor and putting it in carts and taking it off the shelves.
It's crazy. It's totally crazy. I mean, talking about turning off the electricity was crazy, too. Any of those towns that get electricity from us, well, we may just turn it off.
I remember the first time I crossed the border to go get drunk, we went to a strip club, had a fake ID, rolled into Lips Lounge. I was like, all right, act like you own the place. You know what you're doing? I walked in, and I said, what imports do you have? And the guy looks at me and goes, Budweiser, Coors Light, and I was like, "Oh, damn!"
Yeah,
he's
and now
like,
you're
he's
refined.
Like, He's like, "Yeah, you're in Canada, idiot." And I was like, "Yep, all right, I'll have a Molson." He's like, "Okay, something domestic."
The Church of Laszlo,
because you should get misinformation from more than one source. the JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Headlines is presented by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City. Now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Enjoy Casey's best burgers, steaks, and pasta while you catch the game at Brew Brothers.
Yo!
Yo! The news, my man.
Mm-hmm.
The news that matters.
Hit it.
I get it wrong a lot of times, but I get the basics, I like to think. I am at least, I promise you this, I'm telling you things that I saw today. So hopefully that means that it's in the news today. Sometimes I've been known to screw up and pull stories from 3 years ago because I didn't check the date. Someone posted it on Reddit and got upvoted or whatever. But for the most part, this is news of the day that I try my best to represent to you guys. The big story is the tariffs, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is way out of my wheelhouse. I don't know anything about this stuff. I just know that these tariffs went into effect, and I did listen to a couple podcasts about it. You know, trying in case Laszlo had any questions, like maybe this podcast will answer some of these questions. I listened to one, actually, Laszlo. It was all about the auto industry and how they feel about it and how they prepare for
this. How do they feel about it?
So they think it's chaotic, they say. Mm-hmm. The guy that I listened to, he said they understand the idea of it. This was a Detroit guy. Understands the idea of it. Actually loves the idea of trying to get more jobs in the United States, wants more of these tool and die and whatever jobs to come back.
Sure.
Doesn't necessarily think that this is the way to do it, but then explained how they get through something like this, which is they stockpile, which we sort of talked about. So they have to spend a bunch of money. He said, you know, say that you sell 10 cars a week, I make 10 cars a week then, right, to supply that. He goes, if I know that we're going to, if I think we're going to be down at least however many weeks, I will try to stockpile that many cars and just a few extra in case we end up being down
even
longer.
Yeah, but then if they're like, oh, we'll work it out, then you've got this extra inventory.
That
I was thinking about
that.
When I sold beer and wine, I was thinking about it. I did sell beer and wine, and then I saw them in Canada taking all the booze off the shelves, and I thought, well, that's already been paid for.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's getting hurt from that. You know, the store.
Yeah.
You know, because they've paid for it.
Right.
But it's the next round when they don't order any more.
Yes.
That's when you're going to feel it. So when is that? When would they normally order,
well,
you know?
Right.
And the same thing with cars. Like, the car's already paid for. The guy on the lot already paid for that Ford. He's the last payer besides you.
Yeah, he buys it from them.
Right, he buys it from them. So that car's paid for to the company, and now it's on him to sell that for more than what he paid for, right? Same with booze and any other product.
Yes.
So when does it really start to hurt them is when the salesman comes in for the Kentucky bourbon to those stores and is like, you guys want more Kentucky bourbon? I'm like, no. So not only does it hurt them this next time around, if that's next week or next month, I don't know, you know, how often that works, and depending on steel or whatever, depending on the product,
yep,
then that time frame of when it hurts could be completely different.
Well,
right?
And what I thought was interesting is he's saying, okay,
I will
so
tell you that there is no tariff on Church of Laszlo Vodka, and you can get it a lot.
That's exactly right.
A lot.
And Trump would probably
approve. I would say that you should, if you love your country,
yeah,
you probably are going to go to a liquor store in Johnson County and buy Church of Laszlo Vodka and then post a picture of it on social media and tag me. That, I mean, that's just if you love your country.
Yeah. I heard Putin say it was the best vodka he'd ever had in the United States. Yeah.
Well, maybe the best ever. Made it together.
Okay. So, you know, it's got that magic touch.
Yep.
But, no, what I thought was interesting, Laszlo, this guy says, okay, so if I'm making 10 cars a week normally, now I'm going to make 100 to try and get ready for 10
if
weeks.
If you
forever.
Love Putin, we made it together.
That's right.
If you hate Putin, it's American-made vodka, and you can, you know, don't buy that Stoli stuff.
It's whatever you want it to be. That's the beauty of alcohol. It's whatever you want
it'll
it to be.
It'll make you feel better.
This guy was saying that when he builds these extra cars, well, when they do that, in order to get that stockpile, you got to pay all these guys overtime now. Because now guys have to work weekends, so we're working 7 days a week, we're working nights. So he said that initial stockpile already costs more because he's had to pay all these employees overtime and everything else. You try, he said, to absorb as much of that as you can, but you may have to pass some of that off to the dealer. And then the dealer, of course, is going to end up passing it off to the customer.
Right.
So it could be as quick as the stockpiled stuff that starts coming into dealership stores, whatever, that stuff could cost a little bit more.
It would be quick. Like, I could see the booze being quick,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you know, I don't know how long it takes to make cars and pull them.
Yeah.
And is Canada pulling, I haven't heard that they said they're pulling cars out of dealerships so they get done selling American cars.
I haven't heard that, but the example they gave is like, because of NAFTA, and it's been around for, and NAFTA had been around for so long, it's not just the car maybe going from Ontario or whatever into the United States. One of these newspapers tracked the piston, just the piston itself, to see how many times it crossed the border of, either the Mexico-U.S. border or the Canada-U.S. border or both. And they said just one piston that they tracked, it crossed the border 6 different times. So in that instance, they would have to get tariff, they said, each time. So it wouldn't be feasible to do that anymore. So they have to change how they do that, right? They're going to have to figure something out. And that can cause shortages pretty quickly. In the short term, I guess, at least when I was reading the news this morning, it's been a few hours ago, so I don't know what's happened since then. There's no way to know, obviously. But they said the stock market was a little turbulent because of the tariffs.
Yeah,
but
I heard it was down.
But there was some good news that maybe they were already talking about, that Trump was already talking about potentially working something out with Canada and Mexico.
From a tailspin on Wall Street to nervous consumers on Main Street.
Are eggs going to double or is gas going to go through the roof?
Concern and confusion over the impact of President Trump's trade war against America's three most important trading partners, Mexico, Canada, and China.
Whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth.
So, remember I told you the car companies had lobbied and said, hey, we followed the NAFTA.
From 1 hour ago, Trump grants 1 month tariff delay for U.S. automakers.
And remember I told you, I think it was yesterday, that the automakers had lobbied and said, hey, we followed your new NAFTA rules. Can you please exempt us since we went to all this trouble of trying to live up to your new NAFTA rules, which is not called new NAFTA. It's called something, U.S. whatever. But whatever the new NAFTA deal was, and they said, please exempt us. And he said, no. Well, now, as of earlier today, he said, okay, I will exempt the automakers for a month as long as they have been following this, you know, whatever it's called, new NAFTA trade agreement. So it looks like the auto industry at least is getting some relief, and there's the speculation that others could. USMCA?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What does that stand for?
United States Mexico Canada Agreement.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. So that's what they refer to as new NAFTA, right?
Yep.
And he did that the first time he was in office, I think. Is that when that changed, when he changed NAFTA?
Yeah, 2018.
Okay. So I'm sure automakers are happy. Now you've got all these other industries that I'm sure are going to be hoping for the same type of
Well, if you just exempt people, then what's the punishment?
Well, you know, there is some criticism that these, from the critics saying that
these tariffs haven't been done very well. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I'm not smart enough. Yes. I'm not an economist. I didn't go to school for that. So if you're telling me, you know, you think tariffs will work and these other people are telling me tariffs won't work, I have to kind of be like, well, okay. I guess we'll find out.
I trust the experts.
I guess we'll find out, right?
Yes.
but I can't believe if you're like, well, okay, the tariffs are going to go into effect, but not for one of our biggest major corporations.
The thing that a lot of us think of when you say tariffs that you want to protect, I think a lot of us, maybe it's just me, but I think auto workers, right? Making cars here,
like, no,
car
we'll make an exemption for them. And that tells me, like, well, if you're making an exemption for such big, powerful companies, then maybe that's not good for U.S. companies?
They say it's chaotic. At least that's like what that one guy said. He said it's a bit chaotic.
Well, if you didn't have to make an exemption,
yeah,
then if it was all good, then you wouldn't have to make an exemption.
Yes. I tend to
Because you'd be like, no, because there doesn't have to be an exemption because it's awesome.
And they already said he's open to hearing about exemptions for other products. So as we speak right now, he may be, you know, in a room somewhere and someone is saying, hey, we want exemptions too, because he said he's open to it. So I don't know what those will be, but that's what they said. He's open to other exemptions. Did you guys watch him on TV last night? My power went out.
I did not.
I seriously lost power. So I don't know that I would have watched it anyway. But
I'd heard a little bit of it on the radio.
I had just turned on the TV and it said, you know, the president's on or going to be on or whatever. And then boom, the power went out. And I was like, yeah. So I saw some of it. When I saw that representative, was it his name? Al Green? Like
Al
the singer?
Green.
Yeah, Al Green.
Kicked out.
He got kicked out because he was heckling Trump. And you know, I was going to pull audio for you of him doing more of the actual heckling, but you can't really hear what he's saying.
Mr. Green, take your seat. Take your seat, sir. Take your seat. Find a
that members continue to engage in willful and concerted disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
So, Al Green's from Texas. I'd never heard of him before this. Had you? Was this like a name that people are familiar with?
No, I just immediately thought of the singer.
Me too. So I don't know if this is someone that's made waves or not before. But this happened however many years ago. Remember that guy that shouted, the Republican who shouted at Obama? You lie!
Yeah.
He didn't get kicked out, but he sort of made a name for himself for like 5-10 minutes. I remember some people had T-shirts with his face that said, you lie.
And then Marjorie Three Names and Boebert were heckling Biden.
Yeah. They didn't get kicked out, though, either, right? Nope. This is the... I don't remember another time when someone got kicked out like this. But I do know that Laszlo's all for the parliament style.
I do like that, yeah. I like it. Know. Yelling back and forth, yeah.
Boo, boo, yeah. You know, I guess...
You're an asshole.
Some people like just like things the way they are, and others are open to change. I'm really good with it either way.
I kind of like the yelling.
Yeah.
The bickering. I don't mind it.
Yeah. I feel like they still have some sort of rules in Parliament. You notice that they're following some sort of...
Yeah.
Whether it's written or unspoken, but they're following something, and then they do their heckling, and yeah, I kind of like it. And it definitely makes it more interesting to watch. Not that you're going to sit around and watch Parliament all day.
No.
But... it's more interesting than C-SPAN, right?
No, yeah,
if people
for sure
are booing and heckling. So, you know, Trump said that it was a red wave Republican. The map was basically red when
he's
he
right
won. And that...
I mean, there are things... Look, I'm not a Trump supporter, but he's right.
He said that...
Literally, the Republicans kicked Democrats' ass.
Yes.
There's no arguing about it like the last time.
No. And that's what he said. And then he also said that polling shows that Americans' positivity about the future of America... saw the biggest turnaround it's ever seen in such a short amount of time. It's up, I don't remember. Do you remember what he said? 34%, 24, something. But it was the biggest turnaround. So they went from being, I don't know which poll that was. You know, I'm sure he's got a poll that said that. And, you know, I don't know. Would you be shocked if that was the case? I mean, he did win by a lot. So
I'd be shocked if it was up 34%.
That people just said they're
more optimistic,
hopeful,
about
optimistic.
The
I think that's what he said it was. More optimistic about, you're hopeful about the future of America. Whatever it was, he said it was a big
that's
turnaround.
A big number.
So yeah.
The Church of Laszlo.
Church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Headlines is presented by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City. Now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Enjoy Casey's best burgers, steaks, and pasta while you catch the game at Brew Brothers.
Hello.
Hello. We're doing the news.
Yeah.
Finishing the news. Sorry, we were talking about something else off the air there. We got to get focused again.
Doesn't matter.
Hey,
let's go.
You guys know Saquon Barkley, right? You heard of him. He's good at football.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see he just broke a record? The highest paid running back in NFL history.
Giving Barkley a contract extension just 1 year into his original 3-year deal and unprecedented paying him over $20 million a year.
Nice.
That's right. For the first time in NFL history, a running back will be making over $20 million per season. The specifics of Barkley's contract are thus: 2 years, $41 million for the extension, $36 million guaranteed, $15 million more worth of incentives in there. It keeps him under contract with the Eagles through 2028.
My dad always used to say,
get your money,
get
King.
That bread, fam. Yeah, there you go. I mean, what a crazy story if you're a football fan. I was just going to say, is there anyone that would say he's not worth it?
No. If anyone deserves it, it's him.
Yeah. And I know that it's a passing game now, but...
He proved it. You know, they're starting
to... If you find those running backs...
Everything's cyclical, so now all of a sudden you're like, oh, what do I hear? Chiefs fan, somebody. I remember this distinctly. I'm a Michigan fan, and they run the ball, but... I was texting Nick during the draft last year, and it got to like the fifth or sixth round, and I was like, man, if they get a chance, they should take Blake Corum here. They need a little, and not little, but like a guy who can stick it into the goal line. Just, you know, I'm not saying Pacheco's done, but he's got, running backs don't last that long,
short,
and he runs
lives.
Hard,
yeah.
man.
Yes.
He does not shy away from hits. He's not a huge guy.
Mm-mm.
You know, who knows? But it's, you know, if he's not done this year, maybe next year, whatever, you get one of these running backs on, you know, a rookie contract that you think is pretty good, they should pick him up here. This guy slipped a little bit. And he was like, oh, that's a luxury they don't need. They need these other things, which may be true, maybe not. But now you're like, hey, we need a running back.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have helped. So, yeah. You know, I think everything's cyclical. You start to see the Eagles get to the Super Bowl with, you know, that offensive line, running
just
quarterback,
pounding the ball, and,
Saquon Barkley, and, you know, and even if Saquon Barkley didn't go off in the Super Bowl, the fact of the matter is you had to plan
for
him
there. Yeah.
And you had to plan for him. You had to say we're going to stop him.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now, you know, other things start to work. So I think we'll probably see running backs, good running backs, start to get paid too.
Well, I was just going to say, if you're old enough, then the last decade or so has felt like running backs are too easy to get. It's like, why is anybody taking this guy? Why is anybody taking this guy? And it's just like, they just pass up on these running backs. In the 90s, these guys would have been first rounders, you know? Like,
of course.
And now you just watch it, you're like, man, they just don't care about running the ball anymore.
Mm-mm.
And yeah, I think you're right. It makes sense that it's cyclical. But you see those guys who have success, and it's just like what you're saying, planning for Barkley. When the Chiefs, you know, try to come up with some sort of scheme to defend against him, now those other things start to work. Well, that's every team in the NFL.
Right.
And so if you're trying to prevent those deep passes from your fast wide receiver or those tight end catches, suddenly the running back has some
really
room.
Really important. Right, exactly.
So
get
a goddamn running back that's worth something. I know, I think it is really hard to predict. It's hard to predict with any player how well they're going to play in the NFL. I always feel like it's difficult with running backs to know.
It is.
I mean, because between where at school they were and the
and
whole
the guys
thing, who they played against.
Right, and the guys who are really good and were really good in college, I think one of the things you got to look at, I'm like, well, how many carries did he get in college?
Yeah.
They've only got so many carries, so now, how many did this guy get?
Yeah.
You know, how many years does he have left for the NFL?
Yeah. So. Well, that's a really important thing, too. We can add for this, but like you said, they do have a short shelf life, and that's not trying to talk crap on any Pacheco or anyone. It's just that it happens, you know?
It's
suddenly
rare that you get a Saquon Barkley. It's rare. It's rare where he's, you know, you got Derrick Henry and Saquon. There's some of them that get through those first 4 years.
Yeah.
And become even better, but a lot of times, man, it's a hard position to play.
Absolutely.
Hard position to play.
And you see those teams that rely, you know, like the Browns relying on Chubb for so long. I mean, imagine having a guy like him at a more versatile team.
Yeah.
You know, a team that has success throwing the ball. I mean, if the Chiefs, you know, if they had a running back like that in their prime, then, you know, and we had it a little bit when Hunt was first here, right?
Yeah,
you
and
saw
you had
that
it when Pacheco was
and
here.
And you had it with Pacheco for that time, whatever it was. And I still have high hopes for Pacheco.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think you got to plan ahead. And I think him getting paid $20-plus million dollars a year is a bargain. A bargain for them. You know what else would be a bargain? Is any price you quote me to go see this artist in Vegas. Did you see who's doing a residency in Vegas? Anybody? No? I can't believe you guys didn't hear the news. This is exciting stuff, guys.
We've got some big news for Alanis Morissette. She's going to be, as she just announced, heading to Vegas. The 90s music icon is going to headline her first ever Las Vegas residency. She's slated at Caesar's Palace, and it kicks off October 15th.
You know, it's just all these things that make me feel old. Seeing Alanis Morissette doing a residency at Caesar's, when Britney did one, it's just like, and you see the age of those fans, of these artists, and you go, I mean, you see the artists themselves, and you just, there's those reminders, you know, those reminders all throughout life about how old you're getting. But, you know, when they say Alanis Morissette doing a residency at Caesar's Palace, boy, oh boy. What do you think? What do you think Alanis Morissette tickets go for at a Caesar's Palace show? I mean, they can't be that expensive, right? I can see somebody being like, oh, hey, woman saying I loved her in the 90s or whatever.
Right.
But I don't see people paying $1,100 a ticket to see Alanis Morissette, but maybe they would. I don't know anything about her. What do you guys think is the most prestigious, desirable school, college in America? If a kid says, this is the school I want, if I were so smart and so great, I would get a scholarship to go to this school. What do you think is the one that is brought
Harvard,
up the most?
Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Brown, those things.
Yeah, Harvard
And you hear like crazy stuff too. You know what I mean? Like in my head, like John Hopkins.
Yeah, School of Business and all that stuff.
Hopkins School of Medicine. I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, which one is the School of Business? There's one at Penn, right? The School of Business at Penn. I think that's supposed to be the good one. Anyhow, Harvard has always been the most desirable, or not always, but for a long time. It's been dethroned now by a school that you didn't even mention.
Move over Harvard. College hopefuls have a new ultimate dream school. According to a new survey of college-bound students, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, otherwise known as MIT, is now the most desirable school. Harvard moves down to the number two spot. Coincidentally, both universities are located in Cambridge, Massachusetts, rounding out the top five: Stanford, Princeton, and Yale.
Yes, I once had dreams of going to all those schools when I was a boy, but you know, had that knee injury. I just remember in high school they really, and I don't know how long they've been doing this, but at least when I was in high school in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was all about, you have to go to college.
Oh, yeah.
There was no like, well, maybe not. Have you been watching me the last 13 years in this public school thing? It's not been going well.
Right.
And they never say, at least at my school, they never say like, yes, you need to learn to go. We're actually going to go train you on how to do an interview and kiss a boss's ass and try and keep a job for a while. Start practicing. Learn how to actually do some, build something, be a carpenter, anything, something useful. Get a CDL license your senior year. You know what I mean? Why not? Like, hey, we'll help you get the take this
class.
You've
been talking about that. You want to drive a truck? Is that what you're going to do?
Well, you know, it's just something that's, I've got, yeah, I've been thinking that's what I got to do. I got to get that license. But
who's going to be a truck driver?
Counselor Page said, well, this is a local one, a regional one, not like the big rigs. You know, they have the different classes. And I want to, you know, if I could get a job driving a dump truck, man, there's other jobs too. Beer distributor vehicles. I know some guys who got these jobs, and you know, they go home every night. They get overtime if they have to work on the weekend. They get all their vacations. And I just think that's another thing that when I was a senior in high school and those counselors were coming in, why didn't they bring that stuff up? They just didn't.
You go work at the post office. You'd be a good mailman.
I just ran into someone I grew up with, and she's working at the post office now.
My buddy's Soccer Mike.
Really?
We're going to the post office. Why don't you go do that? You'd be great at it.
Yeah. Trust me. I looked into it. I literally a couple weeks ago ran into a girl that I grew up with. We rode the bus together since we were in kindergarten.
Did she call you Booger Boy?
No, she didn't. We were in the same grade. The Booger Boy kids were older than me. They were bullies.
But she remembers it, obviously.
She probably remembers
it,
yeah.
You now? She's like, hey, what's up, Bugs?
No. She said, hey, Reed. It took me a second to recognize her. She's got the, you know, the post office uniform on.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. That's awesome. And she was like, yeah, actually, it is awesome. I was like, I'm not being sarcastic. Like, I don't even know. How the hell do you get a job at the post office? That seems like a good job, right? And she's like, dude, it's awesome. She's like, I go home every day and I don't think about work at all. I get a pension. Mm-hmm. I get all this stuff. I'm like, man, again, in high school, why didn't this stuff come up when they're looking at my grades and my history and said, like, here's a college that we'll let you in. We think we can get you into this college. And here's how much it's going to cost you. Your dad will have to co-sign for the loan that you're going to pay back.
Ugh.
And so that's what I did.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? I don't even.
Well, you're a Griffin.
I was a Griffin. I got that
That's
going
cool.
for me. Yeah, and my wife just ran into a couple Griffins. That Griffin got her a job. They were real there proud of go. Being Griffins, and she's like, you know, my fiance, he was a Griffin, and they're like, what? Are you kidding me? I was like, well, only two semesters. I don't know if that counts.
Nah, you should get a sweatshirt.
I'm allowed to wear the sweatshirt. I had a shirt for a while. I don't know if you remember me wearing that.
You should get a big shirt. I saw a kid in a basketball game, in our basketball game the other day, walked in and thought he had a big Griffin shirt.
I need to get a Griffin shirt. I'll get a Griffin t-shirt, and I need a hoodie for the winter. I should get both. A new...
By the way, general admission for Alanis Morissette in Vegas, $410.
God!
And then so if you like... back up into the seats, $298,
God.
$230.
She's doing
177,
like five shows,
and then in the back, 139.
Isn't she doing like four or five shows? How can it be that expensive? You know, if she was at the Sphere, I'd pay. I'll see any artist at the Sphere. That's true. Gene Hackman, they did release new information about Gene Hackman today. They said, basically, as officially as we can without saying officially, he did not die from carbon monoxide.
1 week since the bodies of Gene Hackman, his wife Betsy Arakawa, and one of their dogs were found deceased in their 9,000-square-foot Santa Fe home. Their cause of death, still a mystery. New this morning, the New Mexico Gas Company says they've now conducted what they call an extensive investigation of the home, which the Santa Fe Fire Chief Brian Moya says nearly all but rules out a gas leak.
They checked the roof.
All right, he goes on. It wasn't a gas leak. That's your update. Sorry, I know we got to take a break, Snowcone. Snowcone, whatever your name is.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo. Hey, do you remember when I used to get those reports from the newspaper about the restaurant inspections, and I'd read all the stuff that was found in the different restaurants, and, you know, it would say, like, I just read it directly from the newspaper.
Sure.
The health inspector's thing, whatever that was called. And I got the impression that someone got upset about it because they printed those things in there my whole life, and then they just stopped printing them. And they go to some website and like get a password and everything. But I do think it's interesting to hear some of that stuff. And, you know, if it's a place that you eat at a lot, you might want to know if it's something really gross. But I've always said, and I think you've always said, that when you go out to eat, it's a numbers game. If you're making that much food for that many people, I'm sure there's roaches sometimes in the kitchen. Yeah. I'm sure a mouse is scurried over your bag of flour.
I will be honest. All the restaurants I worked at, never.
You know,
I never saw any of it. I really didn't. And I worked at independent restaurants. I bartended at big restaurants like steakhouses and the Olive Garden. I never saw anything. I really didn't. I know we hear it all the time. I never saw anybody drop a steak on the floor and pick it up and serve it again. I've seen them drop it and throw it in the trash can. I've seen that and say, hey, would you please go tell the table, you know, there's an accident back here. It'll be a couple minutes longer. Yeah. I've heard them do that a million times.
Now that you mention it.
I've never seen it. So I always say, well, I guess it probably is, but I've never seen it.
I guess the only thing I remember was at one of the restaurants I worked at, they had the ladle for the salad dressing. And I do remember with a gal that would do the salad, sometimes she'd drink the dressing out of the ladle.
Mm.
And the busboys were in charge of making muffins every day.
Yeah.
And they would eat some of the batter out of the scooper and then, you know, take another scoop. And put. But you're frying it, so.
I don't know, but that's pretty minimal. I mean, it's not that great, but it's pretty minimal.
But it's not that bad. Like, I would eat that still.
Yeah.
If some of the kids, just because as long as he fried this muffin, I'm not scared to eat that. But so I guess you're right. I didn't see a lot of roaches. I didn't see a lot of mice. I did occasionally see something, but it wasn't like, I never worked in a place that was filthy.
Mm-mm.
And actually, the first couple restaurants I worked in were so clean, I never saw anything. But anyway, I give places a bit of a pass because I know it's got to be hard to try and keep production up with all this food. You got bags of flour and all these supplies. And
you don't have the money to do, like, most of the time when you think about that stuff, it's, you know, it's the smaller restaurant.
Yes,
with a guy and his wife and his sister working in there. It's tough, man.
Right.
You know, like, you go to the Olive Garden, you got, you know, a front of house manager, a kitchen manager, a general manager. They're all in there, and somebody's standing around, they're like, clean that, clean, like, it's just different. Where you're like, I have to make this food now, and you've got to do this, it's harder to get all that done. I'm not saying that they shouldn't do it, I'm just saying it's probably harder.
Yeah, agreed. Well, so there's this story that was, you know, supposed to be a local story out of Florida. It ends up turning into a national story because of something that was found. Now, this happened at a grocery store, and they were talking about an inspection at a Winn-Dixie where they went over to the area where they, you know, make the prepared foods, the dinners and stuff like that. And I guess they had some health violations. But they're making a big go of this because of one of the things that they found in the
Live roaches were found crawling behind and under a bakery oven, leading to an immediate stop use order for.
Okay. You got roaches crawling under an oven. My thing is, when the thing is baked and it comes out, then do the roaches get on it? As long as they don't, I'm okay.
All food processing and handling in the bakery. Inspectors discovered a container of butt paste stored inside a sandwich prep unit. In the deli?
Okay, the sandwich prep unit in the deli, they found butt paste. That's why this thing is, you know, making headlines on these, you know, like on Reddit and stuff like that. It's getting shared. But you guys, clearly you don't know what butt paste is.
I don't know what it is.
It's literally what it sounds like. It's a tube, you know, like kind of a liquid stuff, and it says butt paste on it, and it's like Gold Bond, right? If your baby's got diaper rash, balls are chafing,
I've used it before.
Yeah, I used Destin.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I might even use it called butt paste.
There's monkey butt. I've seen monkey butt. Yeah. I have monkey butt at the house.
You use it on what?
I just use it as Gold Bond.
You rub it on your wiener?
I pour it in my shorts if I'm getting ready to go do something.
Not babies.
Where I'm going to be hot.
Babies, is it?
You don't monkey use butt? It's just Gold Bond. You don't. You never put Gold Bond. I know you put Gold Bond on your job.
Yeah, but I've never used monkey butt.
Oh, it's the same stuff. It's just mentholated talc. Okay. That's all. It is. Same stuff. So, you know, this stuff was in a tube.
Hot cock stuff. Remember?
With
on the front.
Well, remember, I got addicted to Gold Bond, so then I had to get the extra strength. And then you didn't believe me, and I looked it up, and I found out there's an actual thing called Gold Bond addiction because, you know, you want it to burn, but the more you use it, your body gets used to it, doesn't feel the burn anymore, so you move to the extra strength.
Always chasing that burn on your wiener.
Chasing that dragon, and the extra strength eventually stops doing it, too. But, you know, that's what. So anyway, butt paste, it's in a tube. It's a tube of
I've
butt
seen
paste.
It before now.
So this person.
I can picture it's got like a blue. It's a blue bottle,
yeah,
right?
This looked like a toothpaste bottle, kind of. And it's in a sandwich prep area. They make it sound like there was butt paste, which sounds
in
like poop, on the sandwiches, right? Like, oh, they were wiping their asses with the bread or something. No, it's a tube of...
That doesn't bother me, just sitting there?
No. So what you're really telling me is a couple roaches crawled underneath an oven that you use for baking baked goods, and then you found a tube of butt paste that someone had left in the sandwich prep area. That is not the world's biggest scandal. I don't know about you guys. I feel comfortable eating there. The only thing that butt paste tells me is that one of the employees is chafing. In Florida. It was in Florida. It was the local
store. Florida's hard. I mean, I did work in restaurants in Florida, but they, again, I never saw, but that the guys who own it, one of the guys lives here now, but the guys who own the steakhouse, that they had exterminators in all the time.
Well,
roaches in Florida are goddamn hard to get. Like
everywhere.
Your house can be clean everywhere. It's like,
they're in your backyard.
Yeah, they're
everywhere.
On
a sunny day. And at a grocery store, I mean, that's my thing. A grocery store, now you've got all this bait, essentially. A warehouse full of bait for different rodents and stuff. A couple roaches, they weren't in the oven, okay? And someone left their tube of butt paste sitting there.
Not
they didn't wipe their ass with the bread. I think this place deserves a break. I give it my A seal of approval.
The Church of Laszlo.
So, yesterday we get to work. Snowcone's talking about, hey, have you seen the girl from Stranger Things? It's all over the internet. People are talking about her.
Millie Bobby Brown?
Millie Bobby Brown. Yeah. I guess she's got some movie coming out.
I've never really seen Stranger Things, so I always get confused about who she is. And
it's
years ago, everybody was like, you know, she's hot, or like, you know, and like, they're looking at her, but she's underage. There was like all this kind of controversy.
Yeah, she's like 11
or
12.
So I was like, let me watch this first episode of it. And I did not think it was her. There's another
girl. She looks like a boy.
Yeah, there's another girl in it. And I'm like, oh, they're sexualizing her. She's kind of hot,
though. Sister.
Like, I don't know.
The sister, yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, I get it. Like, that happens a lot. I don't even know how old she is. She looks like she's playing a younger person. But she ain't. Maybe she could be older. I don't know. And they're like, no, it's the girl, the bald girl. I'm like, wait.
That's literally playing a boy, pretending to be a boy.
What are we doing, Sinead?
Yeah.
Why are we getting horny over this kid?
I think it might have been, they might have started saying the creepy stuff around season two. But I don't know.
So I didn't get to season two, so I don't know. I watched that first episode to see, because I originally thought Millie Bobby Brown was Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston's
kid.
Me too. I thought for sure. And
of course.
Like, Millie Bobby Brown. And I'm like, oh, well, is she a singer?
Of course.
I don't know. I don't know who that is.
How could it be a white British girl?
If Millie Bobby Brown walked in here right now, I would not know who she is.
Well, and why?
I honestly wouldn't. I'd be like, I don't know.
Why put the Bobby in there? It's so confusing to Americans over the age of 35. Like, Millie Bobby Brown. Just go by Millie Brown. And then I wouldn't have thought you were Whitney Houston's kid. But you go by Millie Bobby Brown, you're going to be a good singer or something. Anyhow, she's an actress. She's British. She's known mainly for Stranger Things, but she's done other things.
Is Bobby Brown still alive?
Yeah, as far as I know. Right? Wait, did he die?
I don't know.
I think he's alive.
He is?
I think so.
I'm on it.
So she's got a movie coming out.
Man, I like Bobby Brown.
Is an American singer.
There you go.
Nice.
Millie Bobby Brown's got a movie coming out with robots. I saw a trailer for it. I don't know what the hell it is. Looked like Mr. Peanut. You know Mr. Peanut? Like from the Peanut?
From Planters Peanuts?
Yeah. There's like a Mr. Peanut talking to her. I'm like, what the is going on here? But anyway, she got some movie. So she's been doing promotions for this movie. She's married to Bon Jovi's kid, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
Yeah. Anyhow, she's married to him. I don't know. I'm just telling you that for pop culture reference. But she's been doing promotions for whatever this robot movie thing is.
I like Bon Jovi. You like Bon Jovi?
No, I do not at all.
I love him.
I dislike him quite a bit. During all of the promotions.
I was in high school in the basement where all the guys did not like the music, but the girls liked it. But if you were in a basement in high school, or middle school, there was weed, Bon Jovi playing. The girls at that party made out.
Okay.
You knew, like, all right, all I got to do is find an empty seat. I don't know exactly where, but this is great. And then you left, and you're like, man, whatever. That's what Bon Jovi was. What they were. They were just this group that played, and girls liked them, and I believe guys pretended to like them so that they could make out with girls. That was it.
It just reminds me, because I never heard Bon Jovi at parties in high school, but my brother talks about how all the girls were making out listen to REO Speedwagon when he was in high school. So I'm sure
he's a little bit older
age,
than me.
Bon
Jovi was the new Speedwagon.
Yeah. So,
I do like some Speedwagon.
I guess by the time.
You
I don't
like
know.
The Speedwagon?
No.
No.
I don't believe that you do either.
I do like the Speedwagon.
Okay. Well, anyhow, Millie Bobby Brown is married to Bon Jovi.
You don't think I do? Really?
And I know, it's hard to say.
I'm shocked by the fact you think I don't like the Speedway.
Millie Bobby Brown has been doing promotions for this movie, so she's doing red carpets, interviews, whatever. During this time, people notice she looks different. She's getting older. You know, she doesn't look the same.
Heard it from a friend.
And instead of just saying, oh, hey, there's Millie Bobby Brown, she's getting older. She's an adult now. You're allowed to say she's hot if you want to. Snow Cone.
He refuses to hear this news.
I know. But Snow Cone, if you think she's hot, you're now allowed to say it. Because I recall you saying some inappropriate things around season 3.
No, I didn't. I never thought you were that hot.
Oh, now that's
also
good.
Also going to watch Stranger
That's good
things.
For a laugh. I know you don't. That doesn't matter. Millie Bobby Brown got a lot of criticism for her looks. All she did was grow up. If you look at her, it's kind of hard to recognize her in some of the press stuff.
Yeah.
She comes out, she almost got like a Marilyn Monroe thing. Big flowing blonde hair.
She looks like a soccer mom already.
Her face is just, it's changed. She looks different. She's hard to recognize.
But people are saying she's hot?
They're saying she's ugly. Why did she age so poorly? Like, apparently one of these articles was literally titled, why do Gen Z women age so poorly with the picture of Millie Bobby Brown? So Millie Bobby Brown.
Why do Gen Z women age so poorly?
That was the name that she threw out there. I didn't look up the article. But Millie Bobby Brown goes on social media.
Why do they age so poorly?
I don't know.
Stress,
Adderall?
Maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
Meth?
But
they're not into meth.
No, but Adderall.
That makes you age?
I don't know. It makes you not eat.
You still can look 60, but I feel like you look fine.
Yeah, it just depends on the user, really.
Maybe it's not. I mean, maybe you take an off-brand Adderall or something.
Who knows? Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Or maybe it's that.
Maybe it's what he's doing right now. That could have something.
Getting high in there by himself.
Yeah.
So people called her basically ugly because she looked different. She decided to get on social media.
What do you think a doctor would say if he saw you do that?
I don't know.
Take it easy.
Doctor. I got all those tests.
But you didn't show the doctor what you were doing. Oh, by the way.
They ran every test they could. I mean, they said it was fine.
They're looking for people, long-term Kratom users, for this research thing. They're paying money. You should sign up. I have a job. You should sign up.
What?
Shouldn't he do it? He's been doing it all the time.
How long? Like,
it's said in the thing. Brooke showed
Millie
it to
Bobby
him.
Brown.
How much do they pay?
I don't know. Probably more than what
she
we're making.
She went on Instagram and said.
I'd like to go to those things and lie. They're like, hey, we're looking for somebody who smoked weed for, 10 years or more. We're gonna just, and I would like to go and be like, yeah, I smoked it every day for 15 years.
Yeah.
And then I didn't. So it just screws up their whole test. They're like, well.
That probably happens.
But this one guy's fine.
Sure, that happens quite a bit. They will watch you doing it during the test, but that changes if you haven't been doing it before. So she goes online and says, hey, women, stop being so mean to women. Why are you writing these articles?
I grew up in front of the world, and for some reason, people can't seem to grow up with me.
During a recent press tour, some articles have honed in on her face and body.
The fact that adult writers are spending their time dissecting my face, my body, my choices is disturbing. Why are Gen Zers like Millie Bobby Brown aging so badly? Written by Lydia Hawken. Millie Bobby Brown mistaken for someone's mom as she guides younger sister Ava through LA. Written by Cassie Carpenter.
So she's reading these headlines of these articles.
Wait,
and
I'm looking
saying,
at pictures of her now. She looks hot.
Who said, I know, she just looks different. That's it. So she says, hey, why are you doing this to me just because I'm an actress
or
whatever?
How old is she?
I think 21, they said.
I mean, she looks older than 21.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, she does, but she doesn't look bad. She just looks older than 21.
She does look
different. I would put her in, if I met her, at least the picture I see, I'd be like, oh, yeah, she's 30-something.
Something about her face changed.
She's got a snow cone gene.
So, well, something about her face is good.
I'm just saying, very good looking, but older, younger than you think.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I look at you and I go, man, look at that guy, good looking. But I would think, older. And then you're like, yo, I'm 27. I'd be like, sweet Christ, you're still a handsome man, but you look old for 27.
You just can't play the high school
kid. Same kind of thing with her. Like, okay, you're gorgeous. And she's like, I'm 21. I'd be like, well, Jesus.
I think she just looks different. And if you do watch Stranger Things, you've been watching over the years, and you see her all of a sudden now, it's kind of like when Renee Zellweger showed up that one time, and everyone's like, wait, that's not Renee Zellweger. How does she look so different? What'd she do to her face? I don't know that Millie Bobby Brown did anything, but she does look different. When you go, oh, that's her. Okay, that must be where all this stems from, but I would like to give Millie Bobby Brown credit for one thing, and that is, as a woman, she called out the fact that it's other women tearing her down. You know, there's a lot of criticism of men, and we earn it. But when it comes to the magazine, whatever, it's not actual magazines, but whatever magazines became on the internet that critique these people, talk about these people, the ones tearing them down the most are other women.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And they never bring that up, but she did. So I'll give her credit for that.
Yeah,
she brought
that's
it up
true.
And said, hey, it's other women doing
this. And they say, like, all this pressure when all the time from we're young on looks and how we
that
look.
That men put on us to be thin and all these things.
I don't think
it's
men put it on you. Women put it on you.
Don't listen to that. It is women.
Go to any porn site.
Right. Just actually start looking at it.
And
see
I will
what
tell
we're
you.
Into.
See what guys are looking at. I will tell you there's something for everyone.
Exactly.
You don't, like, just look and be like, oh, well, that kind of looks like me.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know. And there's, you know. It's on the internet.
It's a great gift of being a woman that a lot of them don't realize they even have, is that right. There's so many people wanting exactly you out there.
Exactly. It,
just the way you are.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, so you may remember, hadn't maybe thought about it in a while, but remember when those Chiefs fans died at that house up north and... You know, they were missing for a little bit, and then I think one of their girlfriends
oh,
ended up
finding them outside or inside or something.
Yeah, right? They were outside.
They were watching the game, and then
they got together.
They died, partied. The people thought the owner was sleeping or something. I don't remember the story.
That's it. That's basically the story. And then, of course, speculation, what could have killed them. And they came out. I don't remember how long it took now, but after however long, everybody's speculating, they came out and said it was fentanyl, that they, you know, they found bags of drugs there. And that they found fentanyl in some of those drugs, and that they said fentanyl and cocaine toxicity were the cause of death for these guys. Okay. So this has happened quite
a
bit.
But the owner of the house was there. He didn't die, right?
Right.
He did not.
He was asleep,
he said?
He was
asleep, apparently. There's a lot of speculation about him. He checked into rehab.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He immediately checked into rehab. So these are stories that, unfortunately, it may not be the first time you've heard one like it. I mean... you hear Trump talking about it all the time. He throws out these numbers that X number of people are overdosing from fentanyl. A lot of accidental overdoses. We live in a world now where you go to the pharmacy and they're selling Narcan right there at the counter, because this is happening. So the question is then, if somebody dies from fentanyl at a Chiefs watch party and you want to get someone in trouble, who do you go after? Now, my fiance lost a very good friend to this very exact same situation, basically, accidental overdose. And we kind of thought, well, maybe they'll get the phones and figure out who they bought the drugs from. Like, will there be some sort of investigation? There was not one at all.
Okay.
I didn't know if there would be. I thought maybe the cops will look at the phones, see where they bought the drugs, and, you know, if for no other reason, even if not to press charges, just to try and make sure that stuff's not on the streets anymore.
Right.
I understand maybe they don't have the resources to do that. You know.
Well, also, they may be like, we know where it came from. We've been working on trying to bust these drug dealers forever. It's just another, unfortunately, another story in, in us chasing down wherever this is coming from.
Yeah.
And here we go. You know what I mean? Like, we know where... We got an idea, but we're working on it.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't made any arrests, so that feels more right to me.
Could be. And it could also be that it's so overwhelming. It's everywhere. You know, we're chasing our tails if we send too many resources down this one path. But anyhow, they started saying how long ago? Months ago? Mm-hmm. Hey, they may file charges in that case of those guys dying. And it became like a national story. Dan Abrams was on his news network talking to one of the guy's lawyers. I think it was Jordan's lawyer, right?
Yep.
And saying, yeah, we do believe criminal charges are coming. And you're kind of like, oh, well, who's going to get charged and what's going to happen? Well, today, just a little while ago, they came out and did gave a press conference.
Who did?
So it was the sheriff and then the DA of Platt County.
Yep.
Is that what he was?
Yep.
The prosecutor of Platt County. They announced charges. Now, charging two people, correct, Snowcone?
Correct.
And I'll play a little bit of the press conference
Jordan
here.
Jordan Willis and Ivory Carson have been charged with distribution of a controlled substance and three counts of involuntary manslaughter.
Three counts of involuntary manslaughter. Okay. They both got
charged. Clayton McGeaney, David Harrington, and Ricky Johnson were found dead outside defendant Jordan Willis's home. Mr. McGeaney's fiance told police that Mr. McGeaney, Mr. Harrington, and Mr. Johnson had gone to Mr. Willis's home to watch the Kansas City Chiefs football game on January 7th. When she could not contact Mr. McGeaney, she went back to the home on January 9th and found at least one person dead on the back patio.
I remember that whole thing being very confusing because we're like, wait, they found one, but then there's others, so we assumed they were inside. Then later they said, no, they were outside. How did you see him? But... He's starting to come back to you, right? Remember this whole
temperatures
story?
Temperatures had dropped below freezing the night of the Chiefs game. Officers with the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department responded to that scene and found Mr. McGeaney, Mr. Harrington, and Mr. Johnson's bodies in the backyard of the home.
Okay, so McGeaney, Johnson, Harrington, those are the ones who passed.
Right? Mm-hmm. Detectives then obtained consent to search the home. They found two plastic bags containing white powdery substances. One of those bags contained cocaine, and the probable cause statement alleges that Mr. Willis was determined to be the major contributor of DNA found on that bag.
So they do DNA tests on the coke bag, and then they say, hey, this bag It's Georgia.
Is that Willis? Willis, who's
he's
Willis?
The homeowner.
He's
right?
The homeowner. Okay.
He's the homeowner. So they do the DNA test and say he's the major contributor.
How big
the
is
DNA
his bag?
They don't say.
Right,
don't
that's what I'd like to know. Like, how big's the bag?
Well, there was talk. One of the witnesses said something at one point about a plate of cocaine, right, Snowcone?
Yeah, but it gets to
do that. Does he mention
that? Doesn't mean, that sounds like. That sounds like it's Scarface on his desk right. When you say a plate of cocaine.
Right, yeah. Right.
But it could be four it's lines on a plate.
Of course.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's a plate of cocaine.
I'm sure it was.
That is
it's
what
not,
it was.
You know, what's the difference? It's like a fancy restaurant where they give you a little bit? Or yes. Is it, you know...
It's lines on a table.
A steakhouse like Scarface. What is it?
These look like working class guys. I don't think they're millionaires. It's, you know, cocaine is very expensive.
6 to 8 lines on a plate.
Yes, they've got some... Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm imagining. And then they've got Coke bags, you know, small little Ziploc bags that I imagine. And they run DNA tests on them and say, on the first one, the major contributor of the DNA is Jordan, the homeowner.
Bag. The other bag contained fentanyl, and the probable cause statement alleges that Mr. Carson was determined to be the major contributor of DNA on that bag. The probable cause statement also recounts the statement of a witness who said he was at Mr. Harrington's home with Mr. Harrington, Mr. Mangini, Mr. Johnson, and the defendant, Mr. Willis, the night of the football game, where he saw a large plate of cocaine allegedly supplied by Mr. Willis that everyone was using.
Okay, so now you're saying at another house, right?
Another house.
At David Harrington's house,
yep.
He saw Jordan Willis present cocaine for people. At this other house party, right? Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, some evidence, I guess they're saying, that Willis was providing
the
cocaine.
Witness said Mr. Mangini, Mr. Harrington, Mr. Johnson were going to Mr. Willis's home after the football game. Another witness said he was with Mr. Mangini, Mr. Harrington, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Willis at Willis's home later that night on January 7th.
So that's the story you've always heard.
Yes.
The three victims... The homeowner, and then another witness we found out about later that
who had left earlier. Yeah, so the homeowner who was alive at the house had fallen asleep, supposedly.
He drank, smoked marijuana, and used cocaine. That witness left shortly before midnight. Data recovered from Mr. Harrington's phone allegedly contains text messages between Mr. Harrington, Mr. Mangini, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Willis, the defendant Mr. Carson, and others consistent with the purchase and use of cocaine.
So he's just named every single person in this story, all of them talking on the phone about getting cocaine. It's, you know, that's what I'm getting from that. We looked at his phone, Harrington's phone, right? And then he names every single person that's named in the story, and it was messages that were consistent with them.
Chat, right?
Yeah, they're trying to get...
Like, let's get some blow.
Exactly.
Yeah. The messages...
It's a pretty aggressive party for a Chiefs. I will say that. It's a Chiefs game. Like, they drank booze, smoked weed, and did cocaine. Like, man, it was just a Chiefs game. Like,
right.
I will say that. I mean, like, not that I'd be out, but I would be like, guys... What are we doing?
I believe it was like a Sunday night.
That was the other thing. Yeah,
it's the third quarter. I'm not
Sunday
sure.
Sunday or Monday. Right?
I'm not sure we got to get this high.
Yeah,
it's the third quarter, boys. I mean, I'd still be in.
Well, what if you've got this guy there? And this is again hypothetical. What if you've got this guy there, and for whatever reason, he's got a lot of coke and he's offering coke, which is a very expensive drug. Let's say you like coke, and here's a guy who's offering it. I'm just saying hypothetically, maybe that's when the Chiefs game becomes more than just a Chiefs game.
Right.
You go, oh, I'm taking advantage of this tonight. You know, I don't
know. Sure, but they were all talking about getting coke, so they knew they were going to do it. Like, they were planning.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you're on the phone. It's not like you just showed up to a Chiefs. Like, I just showed up to Snow Cone's house at Chiefs game, and there's four dudes in there and cocaine on the table.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, you want some? Even though that wouldn't be crazy, it's even less crazy. They were like, if I texted him, be like, can you get below? He's like, yeah, come on over.
Yeah.
I'll get it. And the other guy's like, this is awesome. I'll get it. So it's completely different. They weren't surprised by it.
No. And it also...
And they wanted it, right?
Yeah. Chiefs watch party, they could have started drinking at 11. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying, I've done that.
Sunday, whatever.
You start drinking, and so by the end of the night, you know, you're pretty drunk. And again, I'm saying that's my experience.
I'd assume they all got together, they're drinking, he said it, they're drinking, they're smoking weed.
It's the end of the night.
They've been working on getting cocaine, they're like, let's do it. Like, they're just buddies hanging out, doing drugs. Like, it's not anything new.
It's not far-fetched.
It's not crazy.
The messages allegedly indicate that Mr. Carson supplied Mr. Harrington with cocaine. Mr. Willis and Mr. Carson are both charged with a single count of delivery of a controlled substance and three counts of involuntary manslaughter for recklessly causing the deaths of Mr. Mangini, Mr. Harrington, and Mr. Johnson.
Okay, so that carries a possible sentence of 10 years, they said. He said. Also, I thought it was interesting
that each count carries a sentence of 10 years.
The manslaughter, right?
Yeah, each count is a maximum of 10 years.
I thought it was interesting that at the end of his little thing there, and again, you know, it could be that the sheriff cleared this up, but he says, you know, one of the guys that's been charged, we have evidence that he supplied the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He does not say that about the homeowner. He doesn't
no,
say...
No, he did.
He did say it?
Well, he said the one they found, yeah, most of the DNA came
had
from the
DNA
homeowner.
Right, I know.
And then I think he had said, no, they said, when that, at the other house, that plate was supplied by the homeowner.
Okay, you got that witness, so maybe that's what they're going on. I just thought it's interesting that as he's wrapping, he goes, we've got two bags. One's got one guy's DNA, one of the you know, guys we've charged, his DNA. Then the other guy that we've charged is on the other bag. Then at the end, he says, we've got this evidence through phones, it sounds like, that one of the guys we charged was supplying the drugs.
Right.
So is the only other evidence that the homeowner was supplying the drugs is that a witness said he saw a plate of cocaine?
That plate that was provided by him.
I mean, look, this just is one of those things where I would have thought if the police are going to look into this, they go to... I don't know. I never would have thought that friends would get charged like this. You know what I mean? But I don't know all the details.
I don't know all the details, and they've obviously looked into it. But it seems odd, and that wording is weird. If they were all into getting the cocaine, then did they... You know, I'd like to see the phones. Did they all pitch in? Not that that would really matter.
Did
they all... Right, I would assume...
If I'm a juror, I don't know.
I would assume that they all... threw in. So I look at it this way, like if it's, you know, we're talking about a Chiefs game, and I'm like, I'm gonna buy pizza, and you're like, yeah, pizza, sweet, and everybody throws in a little bit for the pizza, and then I come down with the pizza that we all threw in. I'm not providing you that pizza.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not delivering.
Do they have evidence beyond that?
I'm carrying it. Like I'm not. I'm not any more or less important than you. I just happen to have it.
Well, also, what if I'm the guy who picked it up from our dealer, but there's evidence that these other guys had been the ones who picked it up in the past? I'm just saying, what if?
Right.
If I was a juror, that would matter to me, too. This is a tragedy. I'm not downplaying that at all. This is a horrible tragedy, and it sucks that this has happened to the drug supply.
Right.
In the United States. It's just a huge problem. We know that.
It's horrible. I mean,
I get what Lazo's saying about...
It's a weird thing where you tell your kids, like, look, man, I'm sorry.
You can't try
it. It's different. You know, it's my dad having that talk with me, you know, I was young, but, you know, he had it, you know, like, hey, I'm sorry, like, sex isn't the same, man. You get AIDS and die now.
Yeah.
Like, you got, these are the things you have to do, and I'm like, you know, I was before I was even having sex. Like,
right.
Okay.
That was the era.
Right, but, you know, it was like, hey, before that, I just want, you know, everybody was hats off. It doesn't matter, but now, you can't do it. I feel the same way with my kids. Like, look, I'm sorry, man. I grew up in the 80s, you know, I literally went into bathrooms where my buddies or people I didn't even know would leave lines of blow on the back of the toilet.
Yep.
Just like, hey, next one in, let's party. And you never worried about dying.
Yes.
Never. Never even crossed your mind.
No.
There was blow everywhere and everybody did it. And now, I'm sorry, man, but you can't do it because you'll die. You can't take a pill because you'll die. Like, you can't. I'm sorry. Like, there's no way to, you know, there's no way to get around it. You just can't do it.
Nope. Not
because
now.
Because you'll die. I mean, and so I don't have any other way to tell you that. You know? I wish I did.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you doing cocaine like I did or whatever.
Right.
But
I'm not naive that you might experiment
with
stuff.
That you might.
Stuff.
And, you know, I don't want you to experiment and live life and then die from it. Like, that's, you know, that's horrifying.
Well, I think you're taking the same risk that I did when you hear stories about me doing cocaine when I was young.
Right.
Because it's not the same risk of being addicted. Right. Your risk now is so totally different. It's death, and you just have to assume that any pill that you get from someone, any powder that you get from someone,
we just can't
can
do
kill
it.
You. And so, but
and
my
I think
thing
about
is,
it, how really, like walking in, like I remember walking into a bathroom of a bar, you know, St. Andrew's Hall, and Tremors and stuff, and people that I kind of knew, and then, you know, I'd be walking in, and they come out, and they just be like, "I left you something on the back," and you look, and there's a giant line there.
Yeah,
it was happened all the time.
Yep.
I left you something, man, and you never worried about it.
Yep.
Never.
When I was in high school, it was ecstasy pills everywhere. Yep. Everyone's handing out ecstasy pills. Now, like you say, same thing. You can't do it.
Right.
Just real quick. And I
can't imagine if I walked into a bar right now and somebody said, "I left you something on the toilet seat." I'd be like, absolutely not.
No way. But I think what you're saying.
But how much I would like to.
Of course.
No, absolutely not.
I just want to make sure that I get what you're saying, because I think I agree with you on this, and I know it's a tough thing to say, but if these guys are texting about getting drugs, then in a way, as adults, are they not consenting to this risk?
Yes, absolutely. I think so.
And I am not trying to downplay this.
I have all the text messages.
Me neither.
But if they're all in on it, And this guy isn't, I don't know how he would be forcing cocaine on them.
Because he lived or because he picked it up?
Right.
Like what? We'll have to wait and see.
Right. What if he died in the other, in another, my question would be, what if the owner of the house died and another guy lived?
And Harrington survived. They said Harrington had those texts. What if he survived?
Would you charge Harrington? Because if you would, then I'm kind of out.
I kind of feel like
if you're not telling me that this is the one guy who brought it, the other guy's, you know, didn't necessarily want it, right?
Yeah.
Or he gave it to him and it was, you know, there's a lot of things that he could be guilty of, but if they're all asking for it, they're all texting, they're all, you know.
They're all in.
Right.
And they lost three of their best friends. What punishment are you going to give
now,
before
you know,
that?
I don't know, man. There is something to being, you know, that.
You want someone to be held responsible.
Right, no, but there's something to be saying that, you know, hey, this is what we wanted, and it was, we didn't want to die, but it was an accident.
Yes.
So, and find out, you know, we got to get the fentanyl off the street.
Exactly.
And, that's what's to blame here. It was guys watching a football game doing cocaine together as friends. They all took that risk when they snorted it. And whether they knew that risk or not, they were aware of it. Nobody held them down.
I tend
and
to
made
agree.
Him snort it,
I tend
you know?
To agree. Yeah, but we'll wait to see what else comes out. But based on what we know, I agree.
The Church of Laszlo.
So people on Twitch, by the way, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo, already starting to share some of the old people habits that they've embraced. Someone said they love Werther's. I love Werther's, too. But that is, you do always think it's an old person candy, because your grandma had them. But grandma's had hard candy. I don't know, do grandmas today still have hard candy? I mean, my grandma's been dead for 30 years, so I don't know. Like, does your mom give your boys hard candy?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I wonder if that was just like a thing in the 70s and 80s.
No, yeah, my mom doesn't either.
Really? So maybe the hard candy thing went away. So, that you know, that just left us being adults now who like Werther's. Somebody said...
Werther's, you go buy Werther's?
I will
like,
sometimes.
Put them in a bowl?
I will sometimes, yeah.
Really?
Actually, within the last 3 months, I bought a bag of them. Yeah.
And you put them in a candy dish?
Yeah.
You put them in your house? Yep.
And I accidentally bought the kind that have a soft center, and I was pissed. They're fine.
God, don't you hate to have too many kinds?
They're okay,
just
but
make the original.
I want the original. Yeah, I want the original. Somebody said, you know, collecting cats. Just a thing that happens over time, and you end up with three or four cats, and suddenly you're a cat lady. I know. It happens. And you didn't want it to happen, but you know what?
It happens.
You're single. You love cats? You became a cat lady.
Sure.
You know, what's actually wrong with being a cat lady?
Nothing.
If you love the cats and you're excited to get home to the cats, it's fine. I thought this was a really good one, though, when it comes to old people habits that we embrace. Complaining about young people.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just coming. When you first start doing it, you catch yourself. I don't know. You're probably in your late 20s. It starts early. I'm like, what are these? And then you realize, oh, my God, I'm complaining about young people. But... I love to do that. Snow Cone will give me some sort of an update on what young people are doing, and then I just...
You get mad at it?
Well, he gets me worked up. He's like, can you believe this is happening? Because otherwise, I'm not always hip, believe it or not, on what young people... You've got kids.
I do.
Your kids seem perfectly reasonable, though. Maybe it's just because I like your kids.
Yeah.
But, you know...
I don't know. I've never felt that way. Like, young kids don't bother me. And, like, what they're doing and their trends, I haven't gotten to the point now where I'm like... Those goddamn kids. I've never felt that way. I get more angry at old people.
Well, that too.
You know what I mean? Like, I find myself like, goddamn it, to like 70-year-olds.
Yeah.
As opposed to 17-year-olds. 17-year-olds seem like, whatever, I get it. I don't know.
I know.
Your hair is stupid. Everybody's hair is stupid when they're 17. Doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
This world definitely wasn't built for old people, so I agree with you on
that. They're annoying.
But last weekend, I went shopping.
You're scared of teenagers.
Well, sure, but that's a separate thing. That's an old people thing that I've embraced. But last weekend, Brooke and I went shopping. She had to buy work clothes. And so I'm standing, you know, doing the thing that guys do where you stand by the waiting room and I'm like, or the dressing room, and I'm holding her purse and coat or whatever while she's trying on clothes. And all of these young girls in this store, they're all early 20s, right? Their jeans are like JNCOs. They're massive.
Yeah.
And the tennis shoes they're wearing are like those dad shoes from the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
The big, thick, ugly, white New Balance type things. And all of these girls, all of them, are wearing these massive baggy jeans.
Yeah.
And I thought, why are you doing that? I understand things are cyclical. That just doesn't look good.
Around.
It just does not look good at all. Even when I was in high school and guys were wearing the baggiest stuff. The girls, like the girls that I saw in the store last weekend, they were very pretty girls. Pretty girls at my school were not wearing JNCOs. You know, they were the burnouts or whatever. Now it's like
stylish.
Wildly popular.
Yeah, so I definitely complained about that. Having a box of tissues in every room or one of those little tissue holders in your car, that's an old people habit that some people... I don't do that. I'll one-up you. I carry around a hanky. I still use a hanky. My dad used a hanky. I've seen people on Twitch make fun of me for my hanky, but I always have one in my pocket.
I hate it.
Kind of gross. You know, sometimes Brooke will need one, and I go, hey, I haven't used it yet. It's fresh out of the wash. And that's not always true. But it's usually... My dad used to always hand me the hanky. I almost asked if your dad ever did that. Sorry, snow cone. Laszlo, did your dad not... Did he ever carry a hanky?
No?
Yeah, so that's just something my dad did, I guess. How about this one? Lowering the volume in your car when you're ready to parallel park. You've got a parallel park, and you're listening to music. Turn the volume down. If that's an old people thing... Yeah, I definitely do that. It's kind of funny. I never thought about it that other people might do that, but I do absolutely turn the music down. Having that plastic bag full of other plastic bags under the sink. I have it. Do you guys have the plastic bag full of other plastic bags under the sink? They now sell the little holders for
it. It's not under the sink, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if that's an old people habit. I think it's just something that happens when you become an adult and live
I've
on your own.
Because I use them for little trash cans in the bathroom bags, or the cat litter.
Exactly. You need to clean up a mess. I think that's like not just an old people thing. I think that's everybody. One that I really liked, though, was somebody said that they're in their 20s and they buy pill organizers on Amazon. You know, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with the little days on them? And they put all their pills in the day organizer.
Yeah.
I have one.
I know a lot of people that use those.
I have one. It's a month. It's a month. You open up the bigger box, and then inside you've got the weeks, right?
Okay, I just know the weeks.
I used it for 1 month. But the problem is my ADD does not allow me to every month sit down and get all those pills put in there and get it planned out. I look at it and think I should use it still, but I gave up on it. But I do own one. A lot of women said that they started crocheting. I saw someone say that on Twitch. Maybe knitting, sewing, whatever. And what's funny is literally yesterday I came home, and my fiance was knitting something. I don't know. She said it was a punch needle or something. She had yarn in her hand, and she had this canvas, and she was making a picture of flowers by threading. She said it wasn't cross stitch. And then, you know, we're talking about this today, and I thought, yeah. I mean, I won't tell her that, but that definitely does seem like something that starts to happen when you get older. I just noticed her and some of my other peers, they get to a certain age, and they suddenly want hobbies. They're looking for something to buy, like a paint by numbers, something to get into. I never really had that. Mm-hmm. Or putting together models, Legos. Brooke's really into building Lego stuff. Yeah.
Why don't you guys do that when the guy comes to visit you?
We could put Legos together.
Get a brand new one, like something that'll take you a week. Make it a project.
That'd be good. Fun. When my nephew comes, that would be good. Heated blankets, heated mattress pads. I have one. I used it last night. That is definitely an old person thing. And I will say this. I didn't have a heated mattress pad until my father passed away. My mom gave me his. And I was like, I don't need this. I'm not geriatric. And literally a couple winters ago, I remembered I had it and put it on the bed. And I've used it ever since in the winter. Have you ever used one?
No.
The dual zone heated mattress pad. Is like six different levels of heat?
No.
Dude, it's awesome.
I'm always trying to get cold, though.
Me too. That's the weird thing. I'm always trying to get cold. But what I figured out is I can have the fans blasting on me, have it about 64 degrees in the house, and then just turn that heated mattress pad on to like level one, the lowest level, and you're perfect. I'm telling you, I think you might like it. Early dinners is a big one. I definitely don't do early dinners. I don't think, Laszlo, you don't eat three meals a day, do you?
No.
I don't either. I do, two. And then there's snacking at night.
If I have something here, like, you know, if something in the kitchen I like, then I'll grab something over here. If not, then it would just be one. Usually it would just be one. I had this, that microwave egg thing. I like those.
It's like a cup of noodle type thing?
Yeah, just with an egg. You pour an egg in there, turn it around. It's like, you know, makes an omelet in the microwave. My favorite.
So you don't eat breakfast?
I don't.
Ever. Okay. I do breakfast, and then I skip to dinner. Same breakfast every single day. That's an old people thing. I eat plain oatmeal with fruit in it every single morning for the last 10 years or whatever. And then I guess I fast because I don't really eat again until dinner. How about you got stuff to do on the weekends? A lot of people said this. They start thinking about when the grocery store is going to be busy, when Walmart's going to be busy. And so they decide, I'm going to get up early in the morning and beat the crowds.
I don't do that, but I think about it.
Me too.
I think about it once I pull into Costco and there's no goddamn parking spots that's packed. I'm like, I should have came yesterday.
Yeah. I did it once, Laszlo. I did it once. I was the first one in Trader Joe's. It was amazing.
Aren't that bad, but
Trader Joe's parking lot is a nightmare.
Yeah, they don't have enough spots. But that's one of the things where you can't find a spot, and then you get in. There's plenty of room.
I know. But I just had one
Costco
of those days.
Some days you're like, that place is huge. There is no room.
People love Costco, man. They love it.
The lines are massive.
I sleep in a lot on the weekends. My brother's one of those guys, he says, don't waste any time on the weekend. So he's up at like 7 a.m. doing all his errands, and I envy that. I think, yeah, I should get up and get this stuff done early. So I would say I think about it literally every single weekend, but I've only done it once. I mean, these are do you do any of these old people things? I think some of the stuff was not so bad. I mean, the plastic bags, is everybody has that. I don't see Lazo carrying tissues around.
No.
You don't wear glasses, so...
I do to read sometimes.
Yeah, but they say you got to put the straps on them so that it holds it around your neck.
Oh, no.
Did you ever get one of those straps?
No, like, I just have, like... I have, like, five pairs of reading glasses on my desk in my house.
There's, like, three of them here.
Right, because I'll put them on, I'll read them, I'll set them somewhere, and then when I need to read something that I can't read, I'm like, where are my goddamn glasses? So I go, you know, I go through a lot, but I know there's five on my desk, so I just go grab another pair, open them, wear those for a couple weeks, and then I'll lose them.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but I don't need them that often. Like,
that,
you know,
and they're not that expensive.
For like that's this, a total I can't read move. That. There's no way.
Yeah, but if you grabbed one of these glasses off
that's
the table,
fine, yeah.
Then you could. Yeah. So the top three things.
I think one of the things they're saying people of our age are doing is skipping the reading glasses and just using their camera and zooming in.
Mm.
I'm like, that's interesting. Like, reading glasses are kind of out. People just zoom in, use their camera,
and
zoom in.
Just put your AirPod in, and the phone will read it to you, right? It'll just tell you what the menu says. The top ones, which I think, I'm pretty sure you do this stuff. This is like one of the first things that happens, wanting to stay home instead of going out. That happens early. That's not an old person thing. I mean, it is old.
It's older,
older than early 20s.
There's some time where you just, you know, it hits you, where you're like, before it was like, I don't want to miss anything.
Yes.
I don't want to miss anything.
Yes.
I don't want to miss anything, you know. Something could happen, and I want to be there. And then after a while, you realize nothing's going to happen.
It never does.
Nothing's going to happen that big. It's just, you know, you're going to go there again or whatever. So, you know, that I don't know what age that is, but I remember it hitting like, whatever. I just wasn't afraid anymore.
No. You're like, instead, I'm going to watch First Blood and every Rambo movie in order, and I don't want to go out. And it hits, for me, it was in my 30s somewhere, I think. I held on to it a little too long. I think I did worry in my early 30s about how old I was getting. So I would try and go out with friends, but I wasn't really enjoying it. And that's when you know. You're like, God, every time I come out, I think I'd rather be home. And then the other one, Lazo, using the captions when you watch TV.
On all the time.
I think, based on social media, I think just about everybody does that. Didn't we read something recently that said the majority of people now have captions on when they're streaming something? That wouldn't surprise me at all.
No, I'm going
to
look it up.
And then the final thing is changing your clothes when you get home. Now, you used to talk to me about this, Lazo. We had a producer named Meredith, and she would talk about when she got home, she'd put on sweatpants or whatever. Yeah. I didn't know what you guys were talking about. You said, no, it's great. I have started to do that. And that's a very recent thing in my 40s, where I've started to get home, and I'll put on, like, jogging pants or whatever, you know. I call them pajama pants, but they've got zippered pockets or whatever.
Sure.
And I change my clothes now when I get home. I never used to. I just started doing that.
Take my pants off.
Yeah. That's the main thing they're talking about.
You know, I just have a sweatshirt on now, so I'll just take my pants off and I have boxers on. It's like shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go outside in my boxers.
Why not? I see people at the pharmacy in their boxers.
Man, I always wonder if my neighbors are like, that guy's out in a t-shirt and his boxers. But
probably.
Not for a long time, but if I got to go grab something out of my car, I'm like, they look like shorts, whatever. I'm not going to put something on.
No, me
too. This morning in the cold, I was like, I looked outside and I was like, oh, goddamn, I need to take my kid to school and my car is frosted over and my key was in it. I left it in it. So I just ran out there. The people were leaving across the street from me, but I ran out my boxers and t-shirt and started my car. I thought to myself, do they think, what in the world, this guy? Or do they just think he's in a t-shirt and boxers?
I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Is the last time you left your key in the car, it got stolen and pissed
on. I can't find it.
Ugh.
It's in there somewhere.
That's an old person. Actually, not. I think they'd hold on to it.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Oh, I still have something to tell you before we leave. I know we're almost done today. But your kid, you know, both your kids are very athletic. It would not be shocking if they continued to play sports into college. They take sports seriously,
maybe,
right?
Yeah.
And you know, I know it's tough. I know there's a lot of schools, but it's still tough to go from high school to college, even if you're good. I know.
Yeah,
you
I think
that.
We've said it before. And if you're out there, if you're like, oh, I played baseball or football or whatever, lacrosse at a small school, you're a stud. You are, I don't care what school you played
100%.
At, you're a stud. You are a stud. Men and women, like, you are in that 2% of people, not only just athletic, but the grind that you put in, the sacrifice that you put in, that, nobody, millions and millions and millions of people just talked about, but didn't have the courage or the guts or the wherewithal to do it. Like, you are a stud.
Absolutely.
I don't care where you played, you're a stud.
People dismiss that stuff.
No, they do. They're like, oh, I played at a small school. Like, man, whatever. Yep. You didn't.
Yep.
That dude put in the work. That girl put in the work.
Yep. My
and I, you know, I like, use automatic respect for me. Because I know at that point, like, you know what sacrifice is. You sacrificed dates, friendship, drinking, parties. You sacrificed a lot to play softball. Man, kudos.
Yes.
And maybe I put more on it because I'm such a sports fan, but man.
No, I always kind of felt
like
that
you're
way.
You're the real deal.
There's a big difference between college and high school, no matter what the college is. And I think also watching your kids grow up and how much work.
Yeah.
Goes into it. Them and the other guys, yeah. The players. How much time is dedicated to perfecting a swing or whatever else to try and play at a college level? I was at a Royals game
and
last
still,
year.
You work all that time, you may not get it.
Right.
Like, even in a small school, like, you know what? You're just not good enough, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people trying to
who
go
doing
to school
that.
To play
whatever.
Field hockey.
Whatever
and
it
good,
is. Whatever it is.
You know?
Yep. I was at a Royals game last
I
year.
I have a buddy of mine I grew up with. His daughter I saw on Facebook got a full ride to Fresno State to play volleyball.
Well, we know someone who got a full ride
how
to play.
Awesome
we
is
know
that?
Someone who got a full ride to play softball.
Yeah,
Dave's daughter. Remember mm-hmm. that?
Yeah.
And I was like, kind of watching that. I don't even know her. I just know him, and I'm watching that on Facebook. And she got that scholarship. I was like, way to go! Last year, Royals game. My father-in-law had a friend, and I could tell she was a big baseball fan. And I was asking her, like, "Oh, you always been a big baseball fan?" She said, "My son plays baseball." And I said, oh, okay. And, you know, I'm thinking he's a kid or whatever.
Sure, right.
How old is he? And she goes, he plays at Missouri Western, which has come up a couple times today. And I was like, holy crap. And my girlfriend was like, what, who plays? Oh, he plays at a school, a small school. I'm like, you don't understand.
No,
that means
legit.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Like, her son must be extremely athletic.
I listened to a podcast with the, now we get too bad down the road. We don't have to waste time. But I listened to a podcast with a coach, which I'm much of a baseball, of Mo West.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it came out like a couple days ago on this baseball podcast, and he was a guest. Dude's awesome, man.
That's
legit,
cool.
Legit. Like, man.
Go Griffins.
Like, yeah, I don't know. You know, who knows? But I was like, man, if I were a kid, I'd want to play for that guy. The way that he talked, everything that he did, talked about how he wants to recruit high school kids, not junior college kids. You know, he'll get some, but as long as he's there, he wants to build, you know, a family with guys who are doing 4 years that they can trust. Like, you
it's
know,
serious.
He's not going to get rid of them.
Yeah.
He's going to stick with them. He's like, if I get a kid out of... One of the things he said, you know, is so crazy because in youth sports, they don't even do it. Because coaches just move on from kids so quick. One of the things that he said was, if I recruit a kid out of high school and I get him here and he plays, and by his third year, he's not ready to be the starting guy that we want him to be, then that's on me.
Yeah.
I didn't develop him enough. I got to get to work. And I was like, man, that's what you want to hear.
Respect.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yep.
So, go Griffins. I'm going to go watch some Griffins baseball.
I'm going to get you Griffin shirts now. That's
I'm a fan of that guy. Like, I want to go watch some baseball.
Well, what happens when you've put all that effort into it and then something happens to your health just that
that's
time?
That's the other thing. You bust your knee?
Something like that. I've got a backup plan for you. I'm going to tell you about in just a second before we go.
The Church of Laszlo.
So, you spend all this time trying to be a good enough athlete to play in college,
right?
To play maybe in the pros, right? And then something happens to you. Usually it's someone gets injured, you know, like you were talking about hoop dreams earlier.
Sure.
That's the thing that you think about. Friday Night Lights, you blow out your knee,
right.
Your senior year, whatever it is. Well, there is this 18-year-old kid, I guess he's a man, Luke Herbert. He's in Ogden, Utah, okay? He's got some sort of autoimmune disorder, okay?
Okay.
So it really messed with his athletic ability. So he decided, you know what? I do have this other hobby, and that hobby is cornhole. I play cornhole.
Okay.
So he thought, with my condition, we'll call
it, sure,
I can still play cornhole pretty well. Maybe I'll focus more on cornhole. So he does.
You know who got old and focused on cornhole was...
Snow Cone's mom?
Snow Cone's mom.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But
she got really good at it.
She was the first in Kansas. This kid's the first in Utah.
They actually call her that. Cornhole.
She's good at cornhole?
They just call her cornhole.
Yeah, I've seen her play. She's pretty good.
Snow cone and cornhole.
Mm.
She's pretty good at it.
I call her skull.
Okay.
Anyhow, after he played in these tournaments, he realizes...
That's aggressive.
He realizes he's really good. She came up with the name.
Okay.
She would text me late at night.
Okay.
And that's what she
Move
would say.
On.
You can't say no to that, Laszlo.
No,
imagine getting a text that say, I want you to skull f-.
me.
Yeah, no, you got to go.
You're okay. Out of bed.
You got to go.
So anyhow, he plays in a bunch of tournaments. He's very good. And then he gets recruited at a collegiate level. And he
There's Cornhole College?
There's Cornhole scholarships, my friend.
At first, I'm pretty blown away. I mean, it's not really a common thing to hear someone's going to college for what's known as a backyard game. We saw this Cornhole tournament on Facebook, and we said, why not? Let's go do it. And ended up winning the whole thing. College baseball was always what I was looking towards. So my end goal, just from this experience overall, is to continue to grow my skills and get better as a player and then go pro once I am done with college.
So he's got this illness, this autoimmune disorder. It made it hard for him to play baseball. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, you know, your son, he loves baseball. That's his thing. Maybe. I always told you he should stick him out back and have him kick field goals and punt the ball for a while.
Start this
as a backup.
Thing?
But that could injure him. Just start playing cornhole. He's the first kid to get a scholarship in Utah for cornhole, but there's some other kid, I don't know, Montana or something, they're starting to give scholarships for cornhole. I still think of cornhole as a drunk game you play in the parking lot at a Chiefs game, but
that
I
does
think
seem
like
something
it.
You could perfect pretty quick.
Like bowling, right?
But because there's no defense.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not a sport, because I always say a sport, you need someone to try to stop you from your goal.
Yes.
So
an opponent.
Right. You need someone to stop you. So, you know, baseball would be, is there someone pitching the ball, someone fielding the ball when you hit it? But cornhole feels like, they're set up at the same size every time. Nobody moves them. The bags have to be a certain weight. I feel like that's something you could really perfect. Because there's no defense.
Yeah. We call them individual sports in PE. Any sport that you played like that with no defense, that's an individual sport.
Right.
And then you got team sports. He said, look.
No, the people argue is golf a sport, you know, because you're not competing against it and there's no one trying to stop you. But there is kind of. Like, there are things that I will let you argue about. Like, there is kind of. Like, someone built the golf course to make it hard to try to stop you. They put sand and water and things in front of you to make it hard. So there is, like, you're not. They just didn't put flags out on land and have you do it. They made it hard. Someone built this thing to make it hard for you.
But there's no active opponent.
There is no active opponent. So golf is, that's one where I'm like, man, probably not. But. You know, you could argue what is and what not, but I always say it needs a ball or some sort, and it needs a defense. And the only things that then transcend that without a ball are the ultimate sports, and that's where, you know, that's UFC and boxing, where you're like, I don't need a ball. I'm going to come in here and beat your ass. We transcend sports then. That's not a sport. That is more than sports.
Gladiators.
You are more than an athlete.
Yeah.
You are modern day gladiator. Just put in a mouthpiece, put on your underwear, and said, I'll kick your ass. That's just past sports.
But how about the fact that people like cornhole enough now that it's on ES? I saw something because I see it on TV, and that colleges are now starting to give out scholarships. Something to consider. Mm-hmm. If you got a kid and you're like, this kid, my kid is not athletic at all. He sucks at sports. Mm-hmm. He's small for his age. Have him start throwing a beanbag. He can figure it out. And if he gets good enough, it might pay for college, like this kid from Ogden. So I say congratulations to this kid. Good for him. He spends his whole life trying to be good at baseball, good enough to play in college in the pros. He gets sick, instead picks up another sport.
Love it.
Gets a scholarship.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
All right, are we done?
We are done.
That was a great show, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Have a good night.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with you.
Watch something good. Rewatch Bosch if you have to. Watch Jack Reacher. It's time, or whatever the hell that thing's called.
I don't like it so much.
You know, how do you know?
I don't like, you know.
What's the one with the guy that people hate? Krasinski? What's the office guy's name?
Yeah, John Krasinski.
Well, didn't he have a Jack Ryan show?
I think he has one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, those are two different guys. Try Jack Ryan.
I don't know who Jack Ryan is.
I think he's a Clancy. Is that a Clancy character? I think he's the guy
right.
I think he's the guy from Hunt for Red October and all those movies. I think Ben.
I
think Ben Affleck played him in Some of All Fears. Didn't Ben Affleck play Jack Ryan?
Oh, I get it.
I think that was Jack Ryan.
No, maybe.
You might like it.
Maybe
people like that Krasinski guy. He's a tall drink of water.
I thought maybe I'd just go back and watch some more. You know, old. I like detective shows.
Well, all of Columbo is on Peacock.
The Rockford Files. I need to find it.
I watched Columbo for a whole weekend last year. We came to work on Monday morning. I was like, what the hell?
I think I'm going to go Rockford Files.
That sounds good.
James Rockford. I don't really remember him. I don't know. My dad loved him. I could see my dad in the corner of my eye watching James Rockford.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever seen more than that of it. So I think I'd like to. go back to the 1970s and watch the Rockford Files.
Do it.
You want to watch it with me, the entire series?
I'll watch Columbo while you watch Rockford Files. We'll be in the same mindset.
We'll come back and talk about which one was better.
Bell bottoms, and yeah, our outfits will change a little. We'll be wearing orange sport coats, you know. It's that 70s
stuff. What was his real name?
Snowcone?
What's James
actor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rockford Files.
James Garner.
Garner!
There you go. Good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.